What? Now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your guests, Leslie M. Scott Jones and David Von Strong, brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. And now, here's David and Leslie.
Hey.
What are you doing?
I'm doing the show.
What?
Homegrown! Sunday. It is 10 o'clock on a beautiful February 12th?
I think 12th? So. My days are all mixed up.
2017, we are so prepared. We are so ready to do this. Highly educated, always agitated, never duplicated.
On Resistance Radio.
Hashtag Resistance Radio, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown, your local show about art. My name is David Von Strawn, a.k.a. The Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Darkie McFly,
David,
a.k.a.
David, that's a lot of names to throw at people real early in the morning. You might want to.
And this is the Queen Bee, lovely as always, Leslie M. Scott Jones. How you doing, Leslie?
I'm good, sweetie.
Good.
I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
Really. I've got a show hangover.
I know. I tried to see your show.
You
but,
did.
It's kind of sold out.
Like, I know,
it's
right?
Sold out all weekend.
I know.
And you're really throwing a monkey wrench into my program. Now I got to catch it on a weekday.
Well,
and
Wednesday, man, pay what you can.
I know.
Yeah, that's what you're gonna do.
Is that what we're doing?
I actually
have tickets reserved for the 24th.
Oh, look at you! Tickets reserved. Ooh, hello.
Well, I have to now because you don't know. You don't know because it's selling out. So go see Well. Go get your tickets for Well. Like right now. Go on the website to livearts.org right now because you might not get a chance if you don't by the
for
end
real.
Of today because it's getting sold out. And I didn't even know it was going to sell. I was just going to be like, I'm just going to show up. And no, you can't do that. But I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I just got back from the gym. I am 10 pounds lighter than I was a week and a half ago.
Really?
Really.
Look
so I am
you.
Putting in that work. I got my Just Water. I got my Whole Foods back with my granola.
Oh,
and my yogurt
God.
In it. That's what I'm talking about. I am feeling good.
Are you?
I am loving life.
Trimming down?
Yeah. I got to. Well, I'm going to be playing a Marine. We're doing this little show called
this
Fences.
Little thing called Fences, yeah.
Coming up in April. Me and this lady over here, so we will be plugging the absolute bleep out of it
right
until then, because we're a show about arts and we're doing an art show.
And we're doing art.
That's the benefit of having your own show in Charlottesville. Where you do
stuff.
Stuff. Yeah. So it's like that. So if you're an artist, get your own public access show.
No,
in your
David.
Town.
No, that's not what
that's,
we say, David. We tell them that if they're an artist, they need to come on our show.
Oh yeah, and if you got something else to plug, then go to homegrown947@gmail.com.
Yes.
But yeah, so we're you know what? We got a lot of guests.
We do
on here, so I'm
we
just
should
shut
get,
up.
We should get moving,
and we're gonna get moving on that.
Yes.
Leslie, why don't you take the wheel on
our
that. Let's
first
get
guest this morning is a returning guest to Homegrown, the wonderful, the talented, the spectacular Miss Lady Tej. Come on, I gave you that huge intro and I get rah, rah, rah. Like, what's just going on?
Lady Tej is so excited to be.
I'm sorry, baby. Is it too early for you?
Oh, we lost her.
Is it too early for you, Tej?
I'm sorry, the phone went out. It is definitely too early for me. I was up all night writing music.
You know, hip hop artists, they don't get up until the crack of noon. You know, they be.
Hey, she was working.
I was working.
Tej is always working.
You know, that overnight.
So you're here to talk about your hip hop showcase at the Golden Pony, right?
Yes. Yeah. So excited about this event. It's my first time. It's the first show I have home since I've been to Atlanta.
I know you're doing. How does that happen, Tej? You move to Atlanta and then you do a show in Harrisonburg. Like what?
Well, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like I've built this, you know, following back home. So I just want to continue it, and I definitely want to keep showing my face, and I definitely want to keep, you know, building hip hop in the community there, which is lacking. So that's what I'm here to do. So if I got to drive 8 to 10 hours to keep it going, why not? You know?
That's that life, though. That's that life. I mean, and that's really where it is. You start off at home base, you know, with, you know, family and friends. You get hot. You know, they tell two people. They tell two people. You know, people keep showing up, and that's how a following builds. So I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you doing your thing.
So this showcase is a little different than your other ones because you're, like, bringing the industry into this one, right?
Well, yeah, this one's really dope because for this showcase, so since I moved to Atlanta, I've done a few showcases here. And with the showcases, I've, like, placed top five and I've won some distribution deals. So it's so amazing to just have that opportunity. So what I decided to do was I teamed up with Hustler Spirit and that Rabbit so that with the showcase that I'm coming home with, it gives the artists in Virginia, you know, the opportunity to also win distribution deals. So it's pretty exciting because I don't think anyone in Harrisburg has done that yet with the showcase to offer a distribution deal to the artist. So it's really going to help them, you know, give them a platform to get their music out like it needs to.
That is so awesome. So how many showcases have you done in Atlanta?
In Atlanta, I've done at least three or four.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been here 4 months.
That's crazy. And these are, I'm sorry to interrupt, and these are all showcases that are self-produced by you. You book the talent, you get on the phone, you handle all that stuff by yourself, correct?
Now, okay, so the ones in Atlanta are not. The ones in Atlanta, they vary. I've just kind of, reached out to a few people that have been doing some things here, and I've became a part of theirs. But the ones back home are the ones that I put on myself. And it's really a good experience. So to come out and see how they do their showcases in Atlanta, it is a little bit different to how I did my showcases in Virginia. So it's kind of dope to put two and two together, you know, just kind of learn and see what things they're doing that I feel like is working. And then I can take that and add that to the things that I do.
Yeah, so, elaborate on that. Is there anything that you've learned in Atlanta that has helped you, like, take your Virginia shows to the next level? And if so, like, what kind of techniques have you learned in order to, like, bring those hip-hop showcases more to life so that if anybody else was listening and they wanted to put a hip-hop showcase in their town, how would they go about doing that?
You know, trying to give away my secret sauce.
Right?
Well, you know, say, it's like the CIA. Say what you can in order not to divulge too much information so as not to get anybody killed.
Oh, no. Well, see, the funny thing that, the thing is that with the hip-hop showcases, now everybody's starting to do them. It's just becoming, like, a thing now. But what I will say is the difference is one, if how organized they are. A lot of times I've been to a lot of showcases that are just all over the place and there's just no organization at all, which drives me absolutely insane. Two is the promotion side of things. The thing that I've noticed in Atlanta that I absolutely love and adore is every single artist that is a part of the showcase, regardless if you're a rap in it, you actually get to have your own flyers to promote the event.
Cool.
So that's really dope.
Right. So you don't have to go and beat the street and, like,
so the
hand out flyers.
Push it like it's their show. You know what I mean?
That's cool.
So that makes, and then having things for the artist to win at the same time to walk away with, that's going to be able to help their, you know, their career. So that's how this is amazing. So, like, for this case that I'm having are the top three artists. And that's the dope thing. There's 11 artists that are going to be competing, but the top three artists are going to win distribution deals with Hustler Spirit and That Rabbit. And their digital distribution deals. So with that, you get your music on 150 outlets, and which includes, like, iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, wow. Amazon, Shazam, Google Play.
Wow.
Title, like, all these places. Yes, that's what I'm saying. So, includes places like that. And then not only will they be winning, the top three artists will all win distribution deals. They will also all get an opportunity to perform in a showcase here in Atlanta.
Whoa.
That is cool. Oh, my God. So, were you having to, like, beat people away? to
well,
sign
it's
up?
Really it's really crazy because it's cool because this showcase, I will say, has almost, I guess you can say it's like a national showcase because like I have people from everywhere that's in it. Like I have artists, I have an artist from Mississippi, I have artists from PA, I have artists from DC coming down, like I have artists all over the place that are coming to be in the showcase, wow. including my hometown, you know, people that I've been working and building with that will also get to perform. So yeah. it's great because it gives them the opportunity to network with people in other states. So it's gonna be a big event.
This is really cool. So I mean, I know that you always will consider yourself a girl from Virginia, but are you going to continue to come back and forth and do stuff? Or are you at some point going to, like, settle in Atlanta and just have that be
You better make that money.
It's so complicated because, you know, it does make it hard. But my biggest thing is I plan to try to come home at least, like, every quarter. So I want to try to do that, come home every quarter, just to show my face, show support, and to show my growth. That's the most important thing to me, is for people to see my growth and to see what I'm doing. And I hope that it will inspire, you know, others to, you know, take the opportunity to grow outside of your city. Because what happens a lot of time with local artists is they feel hot in their city and then that's just it. But there's a whole world you need to be hot in. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's so many venues, there's so many places. And once you realize that, then it really helps take things to the next level. Like, since I've been in Atlanta, and I've only been here for 4 months, I have a music internship, you know, that I've been doing. And I started doing that only after being here for, like, 2 months, which has, like, helped me tremendously. I've met so many amazing people. It's just a blessing. And you just got to step outside, you know, your comfort zone to take advantage of all the opportunities that's out there. That's going to help you elevate your music, too. Eventually, it can be a career. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm doing, and that's my goal, and that's what I'm just planning to continue to push.
So, sorry to cut you off. In the next part of the interview, we're going to do a drop and come back, and then we're going to talk about, you know, your basic artistry. I know. But for right now, I want to ask you basically, so are the flavors different? Like, when you do a Virginia showcase and you do an Atlanta showcase, you know, there's artists from, like, all over the world. Is the vibe different in those places, or is it just, like, hip-hop is hip-hop, and, you know, what you get is what you get? I mean, because, you know, it's Dirty South as opposed to, like, VA, which is kind of, you know, getting more, you know, liberal, more, you know, urban, whatever, as we speak. So, you know, talk about that.
What I will say is when the showcases that I've seen, I mean, they're nothing like anything that back home, if I'm going to be honest with you. Like, and the reason why I say that is just a lot of the type of music. You know what I mean? Like, what I've noticed here in Atlanta is a lot of music, very trap music, and that's what everybody's doing, and that's just the Atlanta way. So, I mean, you know, it helps me out because I'm from Virginia, so I'm definitely different from that. That's not what I do, so I'm different from what everyone else in the room is doing. But it's definitely, there's definitely a difference depending on where you go, you know what I'm saying? Because it's just like, everybody just has their own kind of vibe, and Atlanta's just that South, you know, that Southern trap music, that, you know, it goes pretty hard, but yeah.
Yeah, but you sent me a couple of tracks that you've been working on, and I can definitely see the Atlanta influence in what you're in your new stuff, and it's really cool. Like I like it.
And we're gonna talk about that art in just a minute. You've been talking about everybody else. We're gonna talk about just Lady Tej for the next few minutes. So hold on for a second.
We're gonna do a drop.
Hey, it's Malk. You're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
And it's 14 minutes past the hour here on Homegrown on WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, hashtag Resistance Radio.
Very nice.
So, Lady Tej, talk about how being in Atlanta and being around a different type of hip-hop has influenced your style.
You know, like I said, I started my music internship. So my music internship is with Joe Blow Entertainment. And Joe Blow is a manager And he managed, he managed the Ying Twins, he managed Outkast, like, so many amazing people. So with going to the internship and learning from them, one of the first things that he told me that the big thing right now with the music, especially in Atlanta, is adding, like, you know, the melodies to the music, because everyone loves to sing, and that's what's going on right now.
Right.
So I kind of went back, and, you know, with my new music that I'm creating, it's like, okay, back, we're going back, and we're adding these melodies. We're adding, you know what I'm saying, something that's catchy, and we're not making it too complicated, you know what I'm saying? But at the same sense, I'm still not losing my artistry and, you know, still bringing some content and dope lyrics at the same time.
Right.
So it's just to see what everyone likes and what everybody's doing, because what I've learned is everybody's trying to be the new thing, but, like, if you just kind of figure out what things people already love and then add that to your music, then, you know, they're going to love your music.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's just, like, you got to find what things are already working and then also be original.
So let's talk about what you're doing right now with your music. Let's talk about the influences that you're hearing right now, what you got in your iPod that you're grooving to that's helping you write the next tracks for your album. Talk about that. What's influencing you now, and what are you taking into the booth when you're putting down tracks for this new album? Talk about that.
Well, I will say, like, J. Cole, oh my gosh,
yes.
All day long.
Yes,
girl.
For Your Eyes Only. For Your Eyes Only. That is just something I've listened to so hard, so much, and I just can't stop.
Can I ask real quick, what do you think about For Your Eyes Only? Because everybody, it's getting mixed reviews. I think it's a great concept piece. A lot of people are saying it's boring and it's kind of like, you know, drab. What do you think about For Your Eyes Only? Because I'm a big J. Cole fan. I need to know.
I think it just depends on, like, you know, who you're looking for as far as, like, the opinion. Like, for me, as an MC, I listen to everything, every word, everything, you know, the composition of the track. So, like, all of that is why I love it so much. Like, when I hear the live instruments and the lyrics and the concept, and that it actually, like, you know, it's talking about some real stuff, and that's relatable.
Too real.
That's what I love about it. And I think that's the thing that everyone's losing right now, is that it's not relatable. You know what I mean? Like, it's not. So that's what I love For Your Eyes Only. I bump it so hard. I don't know what people.
Ditto.
I don't care what anybody thinks.
Ditto. No, I just had to get your opinion on that, because I've been rocking it hard myself. So we only got 2 minutes left. So I'm gonna let you take the mic. Besides the Golden Pony Show, anything else you want to plug? Any tracks you got on iTunes right now? Website, Twitter, IG. Give it to me.
Okay, so I do have the event on the 18th, but other than that, I'm actually trying to kind of taking a break to fall back and finish, like, creating right now, because I'm creating a lot of new music. So, but you can find me on, I have a website, it's www.followmusicnow.com. You can catch me on Instagram and Twitter under Lady Taij, LadyTaij, Facebook, also Lady Taij. But, you know, right now I'm just trying to get everybody to come out to the Golden Pony on the 18th, and the cool thing about this showcase, it's a pre-show to my Mardi Gras Blacklight Party, okay? Everybody needs to come out to the Golden Pony. It starts at 8 o'clock, the showcase is from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and then I'm having a Mardi Gras Blacklight Party from 10 p.m. until close.
So if you
want to come and just party, you know, come at 10. If you want to come see some talent, come at 8. You know what I mean? But we're going to have both. And, you know, and of course, I'll be performing.
Oh,
so y'all can come hear all the new music. Everything's going to be new that I'm performing.
That is going to be
She will be performing, and Homegrown is a sponsor of this showcase.
That's right.
Because
we support local artists.
That's right. So we've been pushing it hard, and I hope you have an amazing time. I won't be able to come for the showcase because I got a show. But I don't know. David, you want to slide over the mountain for that Mardi Gras party?
I might have to come over the mountain for that.
Right?
I mean, I didn't know there was a blacklight party going on, too. That sounds crazy. I'm going to have to get my
work plan out. Showcase, yeah. I'll reach full capacity. So y'all need to come out.
All right. So it's the Golden Pony in Harrisonburg. If you don't know where it's at, Google it. You'll be able to find it on Google Maps, no problem, and it'll take you right there. Lady Taij, thank you so much for coming by again, and always, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. How was it
doing? All right. Bye, baby.
All right. It is 21 minutes past the hour, and you are listening to Homegrown, your local show about local art. Local show about local art in local Charlottesville. 94.7.
Right?
I'm good.
You
WPVC,
sure?
I'm good.
Okay.
The progressive voice of Charlottesville. right. And now we have our next guest on the show. It is the awesome Ty Cooper.
I'm awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
No. Ty Cooper's like a staple in Charlottesville. He's been,
right?
He's been putting on shows. He's been putting work for many years. And,
thank you.
You know, I've yet to work with you, but I just hear your name around the way like multiple times. So it's
some good stuff or, you know,
yeah.
Mixed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mostly good stuff.
And we won't talk about what I heard.
Okay. Leslie could have heard anything.
So it's all, good stuff.
Nah, that's cool.
But what I know you from, because I'm a comedian, you put on a lot.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You put on a lot of comedy showcases, and you got one coming up. But now, I want to talk to you about this documentary you're putting together.
Okay.
With you and your lovely fiance over in the corner, Ms. Melody.
You just embarrassed her.
All right.
She's very bashful. I embarrass her all the time.
Though. She's turning all pink over
here.
Shout out to the supportive ladies holding down their artist husbands.
Right?
Thank you.
So let's talk about this documentary. It's called America's Darkest Future, and I'm just going to let you go.
Oh, well, you're going to let me go.
I'm going to let you go.
Oh, man.
Elevator, man.
Now, it's an important project. Very important. It's about the inaccessibility of pre-K in this country.
That's
and
right.
We do a lot of comparison between what's offered here in the States and what's offered in some Nordic countries such as Sweden, Denmark, and Finland. So, and there's many places here in the States that's doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just trying to be an advocate for universal pre-K.
Absolutely.
Because we think it's a birthright, not just a luxury.
Right. Yeah. Because I don't have any children, so
okay.
I'm oblivious.
That's good.
I'm
oblivious. I can't like
they're expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
David doesn't have any children because he's still a child. But that's what we love about him. His childish innocence.
Yeah. Did you have pre-K experience?
I do have pre-K experience.
Right. Well, he went to one. Right.
Yeah. So I didn't even know that. You know, my parents had to put up that dough. That's why I never saw them because they were always working.
Yep.
But I just noticed that my pre-K experience was super cool. I went to Sunflower School in Englewood, New Jersey.
Oh.
Still got my Sunflower School
T-shirt. Oh, you went to Englewood.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston and all of them lived up there.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's Newark, actually.
Yeah.
But, yeah, whatever. but no, it was a good time. And I just found it to be incredibly beneficial in terms of meeting friends, knowing how to meet friends,
right,
and just getting acclimated to the whole, like, you know, getting up, having somewhere to go, you know, walking back home, you know, type thing. Well, I ain't walk home by myself. I had an older sister because that would have been irresponsible for my parents. But so what do you hope that the documentary brings into light to accentuate those principles that not only kindergarten is going to help you, but pre-K actually helps you into kindergarten.
Yeah, well, pre-K is that point where you have school readiness. You know, when you age 0 to 5 years old, are those development stages that's hugely important. That's pretty much going to set pretty much what you're going to be learning in the future. It's going to be set that you know, your thought process and, you know, you're a sponge at that point,
right?
And so getting, you know, having school readiness, you know, getting ready to get into kindergarten to third grade and having that transition, it's much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say a child who doesn't have pre-K experience, or inadequate pre-K experience, they go into school behind, and that right there plays a huge part in self-esteem issues. And you ever heard this saying, pre-K to prison pipeline? Well, quite often what the studies have shown is that you are 40% greater chance to go into prison, you know, by the age of 18 or 19 years old. You have these different studies that's out there, and they respect the studies. So we're just trying to really eliminate, or at least, bring the percentages down.
Absolutely.
You know,
and at least bring it to the attention of the people.
Yeah.
Because I know with my experience, I was reading 2-3 grades above my reading level while everybody else is still like this, that, and the third, and I'm helping out people. I'm like,
so,
cataclysm.
Absolutely. The last time we had you on the show, you hadn't raised all the money. You were still filming. Mm-hmm. Where are you now? Are you done?
No. Oh, my God, I wish. But we have raised the majority of the money.
Awesome.
We raised a little bit over $30,000.
Awesome. That's
great.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, we're definitely happy about that.
I ain't raised $30,000, nothing in my life.
So what we're doing, and this came from individual donors.
Right. You
know, no grants, no company.
I was going to say, there's no Kickstarter, no nothing?
No, I didn't want to do that. Kickstarter, I didn't want no one to see me being inadequate in my fundraising.
Oh.
So I didn't want to do the Kickstarter thing yet, at that time. I wanted to raise the money, because when you do a Kickstarter, you can see how much someone raised and what they need to raise.
And you went door to door, like you were hoofing it.
Yeah, I was definitely knocking on the doors or knocking on the emails and calling people, I just called my friends, I put stuff on Facebook and reached out to people who haven't seen in years, many, many years. Some people had given that I haven't seen since middle school or junior high school.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very happy about that. So we're at about 20% of our production. So I'm rescheduling shooting, hoping to be finished by this summer.
Great.
And hit the film festival circuits.
Talk about the adversity that you faced in creating, getting the funds and just going through the whole process of this whole documentary. First of all, talk about how many months has it been since from beginning to now since you've been working on a documentary and some of the hills that you've had to overcome in order to get this.
Well, one, I'm not an educator by terms of being institutional, within an institution, but so my uphill battle was the fact that I just didn't know much about what was going on with pre-K. I didn't know that there was a problem at first.
So you had to teach yourself about it first.
I had to teach myself, yes. What I did know that it was an issue. I knew that a lot of kids who could not afford or had accessibility to pre-K was falling behind. I do know that a lot of people drop out of high school and don't graduate. Now, I never knew why. But I know that that's what happened. We all know that. So when I started to educate myself, and then also my daughter had a child, that's when I became more knowledgeable of the struggle.
Because it's all about that baby girl for you.
Yeah, because with my daughter, I was but she wanted to have a child, and she goes to Virginia Tech. She's an engineer major, so that means that she had to take.
Baby.
Thank you. So that means she had to take time off, and. And I wasn't going to make it easy for her because that was her decision that she wanted to have a baby. I'm like, oh, you want to have a baby? You're a grown up. Okay, well, you have your baby.
Yep.
So it wasn't easy. And then but I see my daughter struggle with that. And I was like, wow. I said, okay, there's something going on here. Pre-K costs how much?
Yeah.
Daycare costs how much?
Right. Oh, yeah.
And that
struggle is real.
Yes, and that was over 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I thought about it 2 years ago, and then I shot my first frame of 2016 March, but I formed my advisory committee members. I formed a committee of members within Charlottesville. I have a couple of attorneys that's on that. I had the city school board official, had former kindergarten teacher. I have someone else that's in the system. Also, another person who's a high school teacher. So I have these people who know more. Surround yourself with people who know more than you do.
So to make sure you stayed on track and you knew what questions to ask when you set up interviews and stuff.
Yes, exactly. I put that out there with the people, and then they tell me, okay, this and that. So we have these sessions. I take them out. We do a dinner. I have a catered dinner, and it's a meeting. It's a dinner. You got to feed people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So long story short, it's been great. It's been a great experience. We've been traveling the country, Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we got some great, great interviews and footage out there. We're going back out there to stay for about 2 or 3 weeks to follow this one family around.
Oh, wow.
And so that's what we're doing. We're going to start doing comparisons.
That's awesome. I want to talk about that committee a little bit further, and I want to talk about y'all going on the road.
Okay.
But we're going to do a drop, and then we're going to be right back, all right? Okay. Homegrown. Drop!
Hi, this is Nim Pedersen, and you are listening to Homegrown, a show of local art and culture here in Charlottesville. on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
All right, this is 31 minutes past the hour. You are listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is your local show about local art. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. Their guest today is Dave Norris from Equity and Progress in Charlottesville, and they're talking about... Brought to you by Blue Moon Diner. Blue Moon Diner! Breakfast all day, every day with brunch on Saturdays and Sundays, and carefully constructed diner food on weekday afternoons and evenings. And speaking of evenings, Blue Moon is nice enough to provide a venue for local and visiting arts. And all of these artists will be on the Homegrown website later on after the show, because we got a lot of guests and a lot of talking going on. So we are just going to move on forward. All right, fine. We're going to read it. Jesus. Okay. Tuesday, Jamie Dyer and Friends. Wednesday, Jim Wave. Thursday, Mojo Pie. Friday, Baltimore guitarist Steve Hung. And it's at 512 West Main Street. All right. Ty Cooper.
What's going to be on the website is the list of upcoming events in Charlottesville.
Well, we can do that too. But I'm just trying to get...
No, it's okay.
Just trying to get to everybody. Yeah. All right, Ty Cooper. Right. So we're going to talk about this committee that you have set up with all of these people in Charlottesville. So I guess they're all public figures, school board members. Talk about that, the type of people that you talked with during this documentary and how they were, how
the information they gave you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me start with the names of the committee members.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go into their titles, but
shout
just
the name. Everybody.
Yeah. Charlottesville, definitely. This is a national project, national documentary, but it's Charlottesville based, Charlottesville grown. You know, it's from here. Everyone that's involved in the capacity of advisors or filmmakers, we are all here. Okay, so I want to make sure that people know that this is something that's a product of, you know, the city, of this area.
Absolutely.
But Gail Esterman, Juan Diego Wade, Melody Robbins, Tara Boyd, Sarah Mertens, Angela Chofi, and myself as well. So, it's definitely been the only challenges I would say we have had so far is getting people to come on camera to say that they are against universal pre-K. If people were not for, I mean, if people were against, let's say if no one was not against pre-K, everyone was for pre-K, for everyone,
it would be here.
So I think that there's some people who are out there.
Talk about the reasons for being against it. Not just being fiscally conservative.
Absolutely. Some people are against it. They say there's overreach of government. They say it's expensive. Now, how can you put an expense on your child? Yes, on the child.
Yeah, what is that?
But they say it's expensive. And I'm not going to go too deep into this right now because we don't really know what her policy is going to be. But you have a new Secretary of Education.
Right.
So
who does not believe in public experience in public school.
Yes. So right. so this documentary is going to be remain relative. Mm-hmm. Important. Excuse me. It's going to remain important. It's going to remain a need, because it's about exposure. It's about gaining exposure. It's about putting information out there.
Well, I mean,
so people can have a judge.
We have to shine a light on it. I mean, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. You know,
absolutely.
Like, we've got to keep shouting about this in order to get people to listen and to do something about it. I mean, because. Yeah. People can rearrange, cities and principalities can rearrange their budget to make this a priority.
Yes, absolutely.
The money is there.
Yes.
They just need the parents and the people in the community to say, no, you're putting the money here.
I
apologize for that. And I would also just say, like, if you have an opinion about something and if you're against something, Have the cojones to say it. Don't stand up. Just hide behind, something and be like, oh no, I'm really not for it, but I don't want to say why I'm not for it. Well, then you are a coward.
There's also people who will say that you can't compare the United States to Nordic countries such as Sweden and Denmark because, they may say it's homogenous out there. They may say it's a lot smaller, but this is the reality. We was in Tulsa, Oklahoma this summer interviewing this organization. We interviewed this organization. We covered this organization called CAP Tulsa, which is the organization there that provides early Head Start. Mm-hmm. And see, normal Head Start is like 4-year-old program, maybe 3-year-old.
Right.
Early Head Start is age 0 to 5. 0. Okay, that means straight out of the womb, working with the parents, going to their homes. That this organization is amazing. It's called CAP Tulsa. So Tulsa has Oklahoma. Period has universal pre-K. Okay, one of the only states that have universal pre-K. But Tulsa has it where, like I said, is age 0 to 5 years old. Mm-hmm. So with CAP Tulsa, Tulsa is a small area.
Yeah.
So if they can do it in the States,
Charlottesville could do it.
Charlottesville, just many different places could do
it. Yeah.
And you would think with the science base behind it being that 0 to 6 is when kids are developing the quickest, when they're learning languages the quickest.
Yes, absolutely.
You would think that
the word
science
bank
and people would put that time and mm-hmm. money and effort into right. that development stage to get the best out of their children.
So right. have you had anyone mention or highlight the fact that when children are exposed to education at an earlier stage, that not only prepares them for regular school, mm-hmm. but that also will increase our workforce? Like that, I mean, that creates more intelligent human beings out there to perform, you know, high tech jobs. You know, we need more engineers. We need
that
more scientists.
Makes America great.
we have had several people that's been interviewed who states that, and also, you know, Robert Pianta, he goes into that. I interviewed him, you know, the dean of the Curry School of the University of Virginia. Stephen Dow, who's the executive director of CAP Tulsa, and Sheila Pleasant. Sheila Pleasant is the executive director of they closed down this past summer
in Richmond,
the Southside Child Development Center out there, and they closed down because of lack of funding, mm-hmm. which makes this documentary important.
Right.
It's all about accessibility. That pre-K had closed down because of lack of funding this summer, and it had a waiting list of over 100 people, 100
kids.
So
I just want to make one more point because we only have one more minute, and thank you very much before we go. But that the organizations that you're working with are nonpartisan.
Yeah.
They're non-equity.
Yeah.
They're nonprofit. They're just here for the people, by the people.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about children. So everybody wants the betterment for their children, I would think.
This documentary is a nonprofit documentary.
Absolutely.
And our fiscal partner is Virginia Organizing, which is a nonpartisan organization. So people who donate, because we're still trying to raise raise about $3,200 more.
And if I want to donate to you, and if I want to send, if I want to find out more information, where do I go?
You go to the documentary is titled America's Darkest Future.
Okay.
So you go online to America's, Not apostrophe, just because it's a website. AmericasDarkestFuture.com.
All one word.
AmericasDarkestFuture.com. And we have a fundraiser next Friday, February 17th.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
It's the United Nations Comedy Tour, which is a tour that I created.
Yeah.
But we have Funny Man Skiba headlining this particular show.
Yep.
And it's at the Jefferson School Heritage Center. At 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. So more information is actually on the website, too.
Okay.
And you can buy tickets for that. And that all my events this year, 2016-17, will support the documentary, the making of the documentary.
That's awesome.
Until I raise that next $3,200.
So what's your next, after the fundraiser, what's your next comedy event? Aren't you doing something at the Paramount?
No, that's in November.
Oh, okay.
But the one I'm doing, I have 5 shows at the Jefferson School Heritage Center.
Cool.
So February 17th is with Skiba. That's coming up next Friday. Then March 18th is at the same location.
Mm-hmm.
And then April 15th, same location.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I forgot the May and June dates. But you know,
that's all right. We'll get it from you.
Go to the website.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, go to the website.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate your support.
Melody, thank you so much.
AmericasDarkestFuture.com.
All right.
Thank you.
You heard it here first. All right. We're homegrown. We're going to do a drop. We're going to be right back. Drop. All right, it's 43 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, this is 94.7 WPVC Homegrown.
And, you know, seriously, we are like rocking and rolling this morning, right?
Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. Their guest today is Dave Morris from Equity and Progress in Charlottesville, talking about...
No, isn't that awesome? I like Dave Norris. Have you met Dave Norris?
No, I have.
Okay, good.
We're meeting with our third guest in on a jam-packed homegrown show. This is the awesome duo of Lowland Hum. If you don't know, you should probably know because they've been killing it in Charlottesville. They, have you had your the release?
Not here. We've released the album,
right on.
But our show, our hometown release show, is the 17th.
Booyah!
So this and Friday, this is the Southern.
Yes.
All right, and this is Daniel and Lauren Gones. Always doing their thing, like they always do. So, hey, I am not familiar with Lowland Hum. Leslie said she listened to...
I listened to the album last night. What were you doing, David?
I'm sorry. I was working.
Whatever. Like, you can't put in some, like, earphones and listen to a little music?
She wants to start with me right now.
Jeez.
But, no. See, I was trying to keep it fresh for the interview because I wanted to come in
that's
with
good.
A clean slate.
No preconceived
notions. No
preconceived
notions.
So,
know nothing about you.
That's a nice cover, honey.
Yeah, that's what
so
I do.
Since you haven't heard anything, David, why don't we have him play for us right now?
All right.
Okay. Sounds all right. Good. Let's go.
So this new record is called Thin. We recorded it here in Charlottesville. And this is a song from that record. This is called Folded Flowers.
We're faces. Features are blurred. I can't make out the shapes. It doesn't bother me much. It's just like my waking life. People all around me, eclipsed by my meat-side eye. Let me just see your call.
So much.
All right. So, first of all, we have to profusely apologize to our viewers and listeners for not running Facebook Live like we usually do.
Because
you have the most adorable frog wooden block drum I've ever seen in my life. It's just amazing. And whenever I see a nylon guitarist, I always give them props because that thing is a bitch to string. So let's talk about Origin. How long have you been together? How long have you been doing this thing?
So we met in 2009. It became romantic in 2010. It became musical in 2011,
uh-huh.
And then we got married in 2012 and have been a band ever since then and touring most of the time since then.
Right on. So talk about, like, the creative process. Like, do you guys just, like, do you wake up at, like, 3 o'clock in the night and then you're like, yeah, we gotta
get up, now. Inspiration strikes now.
It's different
every time for us, but we generally have, like, a few months where we kind of try to write most days, and we call it living in Yes Town. We just say yes to any idea, even if we can kind of say, like, even if we can kind of tell this song sucks already,
right?
We're like, we don't say it sucks now, we finish it, mm-hmm. and eventually we then switch into kind of edit mode.
That's super interesting, because usually when songwriters get together, somebody brings something to the table and they add to it, or somebody has something that they bring and then they add to it. Mm-hmm. You guys have, like, this kind of, like, cohesion together where nobody really brings anything. Like, there's no majority weight.
Yeah, it's sort of a real-time collaboration for us, and generally the momentum will start with one of us, but in order for us to be able, like, we sing most nights of the week all year round, so it's sort of like we need to both feel represented by, we need to both feel represented in the songs.
Right on.
And so we try to, like, stop momentum before it goes too far in one of our directions.
That is beautiful. Like, not only in relationships, but in music, they're, like, equal. God, I'm
David's,
just like heart.
David's
right
a little
now.
Jealous
hold
right
on,
now.
Hold my heart.
Okay, I'll oh, take Jesus. Over. You all right? Be beclamped for a minute.
Fan him off.
So for those of you who couldn't see this while they were playing, like, you guys have the most amazing communication.
Oh.
Like, it was, you know. You're
look
sitting here.
Each other's eyes.
Stop. Yeah, I'm seriously. Sorry. Like, you're playing guitar and you're, like, focusing on that, but she's, like, completely paying attention to what your fingers are doing and, like, looking in your eyes. And there is definitely a silent communication that's going on. It's almost like telepathy to watch you guys, and it's beautiful.
Thank you.
So I've listened to the whole album, and while all of it is from my perspective, very rooted in folk, very rooted in, I felt a lot of Appalachian tones in there. One of the songs, Compass, when you started singing, like, the first few notes that you sung, I was like, wait a minute, I'm not listening to Coldplay. What happened?
That's
completely reminded me of how Chris does his, like, his ups and downs, like, in the beginning of a song.
Is,
like,
that piano, or is that just
vocals? No, it was her voice.
Okay.
And it was, and I'm like, wow, okay. That's new and interesting.
Ah, that's a fun connection to make. I don't know if that's what we had in mind when we were making it, but some of that early Coldplay stuff I loved so much.
Yeah. So. I love the way he creates a song that's not always verse, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus.
Right.
And I've noticed that you guys do that a little bit on, on this album. Is that something that you like to do, like to change things up, or is that a norm for you, or how do you go about putting together a song that may not serve that normal progression?
I think we tend toward that. And when we first started out, we had a friend who would kind of push us on a regular basis and be like, okay, you have a whole album's worth of songs and none of them have choruses. So we need to work on giving people something.
Gotta have a hook. Gotta have a sweet hook.
Something to hold on to. Okay. Yeah. So I think we've pushed ourselves to have more repeated phrases or chorus type moments.
I was actually saying that to myself today, how I miss like those 80s songs where the chorus just repeats and then it fades in until the end.
Yes.
And then the hard stop, how it usually
the
does. Anyway, but we have a song. We have another song that we want to play from you guys.
Yeah.
It's from the album, which you guys are going to be plugging the Southern. Yeah, I got nothing else to say. Let's do it. Lowland Hum.
Second, glitter on the bay.
All right, this is Homegrown. We got a minute 40 left. If you're just tuning in, you missed out on an awesome show.
Really?
That was Lowland Hum. Daniel and Lauren Goins playing their... What was that track name? Comp? No, that wasn't...
Thin Places.
Thin Places, and they just did...
Folded Flowers.
Also, but if you want to hear that whole CD, they're going to be schlepping it out at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall on February 17th.
How about that?
This Friday.
Or you could, I don't know, do what I did and look it up on iTunes.
You just order that bad boy.
And follow them.
But then you won't see them live, see them looking at each other lovingly in their eyes while they make the most beautiful music on the face of the earth.
Oh my God. You guys are adorable.
And usually I just write music about women. I just don't meet a perfect woman and have her start writing music with me. So
David, we're not talking about your love life.
We're always talking about my love life.
Okay.
You guys
said that that you travel a lot. Uh-huh. So do you have 9-to-5s and doing this or
no? I think in order to afford living, we have to travel a lot. It's our main thing.
So I want you guys to definitely let us know when you're playing in the area. We will plug it on the show.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank y'all so much for having us.
Yeah,
We loved it.
Sunday morning wake up calls next with Rick Moore. Dave Norris from Equity and Progress in Charlottesville is next. And talking about what? But this is Homegrown, and we had a great time. See you next week. Bye.
Thank you guys.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.